Welcome to Podtourage, everybody.
Yeah, welcome to Podtourage. This is Podtourage. I am one of your hosts. I'm Emily Duncan.
And I'm Joe DiBella.
Joe DiBella's playing on his phone.
I'm trying to unlock my phone because
not paying attention to what's going on.
I'm just pulling up some notes because today we're talking about season 2 episode 6. Chinatown.
Yeah, and so we have a guest in the Podtourage mansion today.
Yes, we do.
Please welcome to the studio Andrea Coleman.
Hello.
Hi.
Andrea is a very funny stand-up comedian. She's been on BET and featured in the New York Times and Time Out New York. Am I getting this right?
You're nice. Getting it right. Yeah, that's awesome.
I immediately memorized your bio. So sorry.
I love it. That's great.
We're so glad to have you here.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I love podcasts. I can't do one myself, so I'm very excited to be part of this one.
Well, just delighted to have you here. So tell us, have you seen Entourage before? What's your experience of Entourage in your life?
We ask all our guests their history with this show.
I have no history. Right. I'd heard of the show. I knew it was on HBO, and I'd never seen an entire episode. Maybe I'd seen a clip if somebody got nominated for something, or they were on like
a
talk show.
Golden Globes, I think, and stuff.
I think Piven won a couple of Emmys or Globes or something.
Yeah, but
actually, Emmys makes way more sense than Golden Globes. I can't believe I just tripped on those letters.
But he could have won a Globe. Piven could have won a Globe.
Yeah, TV shows win Globes.
Yeah,
especially HBO shows.
It's totally possible.
So
this is a peak HBO.
But I hadn't seen anything before. I hadn't seen an entire episode until today.
All right, great. Nice. And life-changing?
Yeah.
It was not life-changing, but it was, I'm a lawyer in my day job, so there was definitely a part of me that was like, I should probably watch every single episode before this so that I know exactly what's going on.
You're a research kind of person.
I'm a researcher, but I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to trust that I've just,
I'm so sorry.
The 28 minutes of this is enough. And So I just wrote a play about my dad and his relationships with like his friends in high school.
Oh, crazy.
And
What a wonderful coincidence.
Well, I bring it up because I was like, okay, like these are guys and they're friends and they're supporting each other. And these aren't necessarily my kind of guys.
Right.
But I don't think it's often on television where you have a bunch of guys that are friends and you get to kind of see that relationship. So I got the sense that this is maybe the heart of the show, not maybe this episode, but just this idea of like four guys kind of with different personalities supporting each other in the way that they do or razzing each other a lot as well.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think the core of the show is basically what appeals to people is, well, two things. The biggest, the heart of the show is the friendship. What appeals to people is the Hollywood insider information.
Yeah.
Also, our producer Dan is in the studio today.
Sorry.
Producer Dan's here.
He's wrestling around with some cords and important podcast technology.
Yeah, he's setting up some mics for another recording later on in the mansion.
Yeah, yeah. We have Aerosmith coming in later. Just not for this. They're doing a different thing. But.
Yeah.
Getting here shortly.
Oh, good. He's on it. He's got
it's all right. Don't worry about it. You take your time. whatever you need to do.
Got any fruit?
Oh, yeah. Do you have any fruit over there?
A little inside joke.
Andrea sniffing around for fruit in the house.
In the mansion.
She arrived asking for fruit in this mansion.
She's still looking.
We've got nothing for her.
How embarrassing for you.
Yeah, this has been... Listen, I always say the Podtourage Mansion has everything.
Except,
and today I've been proven wrong.
Yeah.
Because we don't have no pineapples, no apples, no oranges, no berries, no clementines.
Mm. Well, the only fruit I have in my apartment, not here.
No grapes. I thought maybe some frozen grapes.
I got pineapple coconut seltzer. That says fruit. That's as much fruit as I could get in my place.
What a sad testament to our situation.
Yeah.
Our lives are going great. We both have definitely enough vitamin C.
This
episode is called Chinatown.
Chinatown, yes. Like I said, season 2, episode 6. Chinatown has an 8.5 on IMDb.
Which is shockingly high.
Premiered to 1.95 million viewers.
Wow.
I think this is like the second highest rated episode so far.
Really?
Which is pretty wild. Yeah.
Rated in terms of people or in terms of numbers? Or is it like stars?
I'd say 8.5. We've had a couple of those.
Yeah, because I feel like we had some 8.7.
I think actual viewers. Viewers is
definitely on the higher end.
Yeah, because we haven't cracked 2 million yet.
Yeah. Which surely they're getting there any minute now.
They're getting there. HBO. It was directed by Julian Farrino, who's directed most episodes of Entourage.
Yeah, he's basically the only director of Entourage with very few exceptions.
Yeah. And written by Doug Allen, the creator, Brian Burns, who I don't know who that is. He's a new writer, I think. And
welcome to the team, Brian Burns.
Welcome aboard, Brian. You're joining some classic writers like Cliff Dorfman. It's a Dorfman joint. And Larry Charles from Seinfeld and of Borat fame.
I have the HBO summary up here if you would like to hear it.
Yes, please.
Okay. To help pay the bills, Ari lands Vince a gig appearing in a lucrative foreign commercial. The benefits extend beyond the financial compensation, as Vince also manages to bed his beautiful stunt coordinator. Meanwhile, Turtle decides to make his own bank by entering an Xbox boxing tournament, but he gets ousted early on by a young gaming prodigy. Eric continues to stress out since he's not able to get an advance print of Queens Boulevard for James Cameron. Luckily, the A-list director agrees to attend the Sundance screening of the film, offering hope that Vince may still end up with the Aquaman role.
Ooh.
It's a high-drama episode.
Scandalous episode.
So, what we know, I guess, is Vince is...
Yeah.
Vince is short for cash, and so they immediately solve that problem.
Right, yeah. That's the main... That's like most episodes of the show.
Like in terms of the overarching plot,
they're low on cash, and they're worried about their future, and they need a quick money grab.
I thought they had a lot of money. I thought the lead guy, Adrian Grenier or something.
So they spent all their money on that house that they are living in.
Which used to belong to Marlon Brando, is that right?
It was Marlon Brando's house, yes.
He thought that he had Aquaman... the role in the James Cameron, the fictional James Cameron film.
Yeah.
Like on lockdown, like it was his for sure. And then now it turns out that there's a whole bunch of people that are also maybe up for Aquaman.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't have the deal. So he spent all this money based on thinking that he had a film. And then so he's worried about money. So his agent, Ari, is getting him other things that pay. And, and this... So, I mean, but it's, like, immediately fixed. Like, he just gets something else that pays. Like, they never have problems that last in this show. Which I guess is nice in its own way. It's a wonderful world to have a view into. What must it be like?
This episode is weird because they give Turtle something to do, which is something
that's
out
true.
Of the ordinary.
Turtle has not just a C-plot, but a very, like, hefty C-plot.
Because it opens up on him... playing it's video really games, which he's done before, but now we really get to explore like his whole video game profession and his world and his hobby. Because I don't know.
Well,
don't
up
know.
Until
it's
this
strange.
Point, it's just been like Turtle plays video games. Now it's like Turtle plays video games professionally.
Yeah.
But I mean, not really, because he immediately fails.
Yeah.
I thought that happened at the end.
Yeah.
He
well, I mean, or like, okay. It's it's a one episode turnaround.
Oh, okay. Fair.
Yeah. He smokes marijuana.
Yeah. What a weird storyline that they. So this is the one thing that Turtle, this guy, does, and they immediately fuck with him like the entire episode. He offers like nothing else to the group or the show.
Oh.
And,
I don't know. I mean, he drives. He trains Arnold the dog.
Yeah, but now he's. He's able to like bring in some money when they need it, and they're fucking with him like mentally to like.
Yeah, I mean Vince is. It's immediately clear that Vince is, screwing with him. He's like, drug test, and then he's giggling behind him for us, the camera, to see.
Yeah, I thought it was like, I don't know. I think that's pretty fucked up. If I was like, if that had happened to me, I'd be pretty fucking pissed. Like if I
you spend the whole time looking for urine
isolation.
Instead of practicing your.
Yeah, I mean,
Xbox.
A urine hunt is in like that's a lot of time to deal with that to try and find some clean urine.
Well, I wouldn't know.
I thought perhaps he would because I know of people who have had a challenge similar to this, and not for video game purposes, but for like job interviews, and they're like, I gotta clean up my stuff. But normally, right, sure. What
nice
they do.
Nice cover up for all of your professional Xbox friends.
But the
definitely like, wasn't my professional Xbox friends.
But usually they're trying to like drink something that will like purify right. the urine, not like get whole other sets of urine. Although I do know people who have done that as well. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it seems like a project. To
but it could have been more interesting, is what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Because it seemed. I mean, that could have been fun to watch.
It seemed, yeah.
If they had explored all the possibilities.
Yeah, it was a lot of buildup to him freaking out. And then he just called one of his guys, like his basically his drug dealer, and got the drug dealer's driver, his chauffeur, right. to provide urine for him. So it was pretty like anticlimactic.
Yeah, it was.
Like, oh, well, he actually got urine that easily.
With the recognition that I should have just Googled it, for some reason I thought he was hanging out with a celebrity. Hack. Who is Hack?
That's his drug dealer.
All right. Well, now I know. I haven't been, I guess.
I did like drama in this episode trying to contribute some money to the situation by saying that he's going to mortgage his one bedroom in the mansion. He figured it out that it would be $2,400 a month to pay. Mm-hmm. So he wants to pay $2,400 a month for his bedroom in this
awfully
house.
Nice of him. That's a lot of rent to pay. I know.
And he has no income coming in.
Well, now he ends up in the commercial. Like,
yeah.
He gets, well, and well, he doesn't cook for free, commercial. As he says. Presumably it's still just Vince's money, but coming in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah, but once again, drama, like... means well, but he has no plan for this. he has no idea. So Ari's trying to like find Vince a project. So he calls a war room of every agent and every manager that he's got at his company. And the first suggestion that comes in is a woman pitches a television show,
right.
And rightly so says, "Hey, a lot of celebrities are doing TV nowadays. Like, not a big deal." He throws her out of the room. Like,
okay, people, cancel your lunches. We are going to close the Ivy today because no one is leaving this room until we score a big payday from my boy Vinny Chase. Who wants to be a hero? Liz.
David E. Kelly's got a terrific new pilot.
Television.
Lots of movie stars are doing TV now, Ari. Gary Sinise.
Well, when Vince looks like Gary Sinise, he'll do television.
Peter Gallagher, Anthony LaPaglia.
Get out. Seriously, get the fuck out. Don't even grab a bagel. Next. Davies, what do you got?
Toby just fell out of something. Probably get Vince half of what they're gonna give him.
All right. That is what I'm talking about. You, my friend, deserve some very expensive locks.
when that happens, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. These people are on another level, I guess. But it's true. I mean, I guess if I'm Ari Gold, maybe this is not, I don't want a TV show pitch. But also it's a ridiculous reaction to that.
Yeah, absurd reaction.
It's funny though, because it makes me think, when was Sex and the City? Because like this, Sarah Jessica Parker did a TV show, which is on HBO.
It either ended. We looked into it one time, and I've already forgotten. But it was. I feel like I'm saying the word immediately a lot, and I'm trying to check in and not keep saying immediately.
I don't think you're saying it a lot.
I hear it.
If I hear it too much, I'll immediately tell you.
So Sex and the City either ended right before this started, or it overlapped a little bit, like their fifth season was with the start of this, because this was also Sunday night HBO. And want to say that this was supposed to fill that slot. I think that it ended
this. Yeah.
But it's funny because he ends up doing a commercial. Yeah. So to me, you would think in terms of cachet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But I guess because it doesn't air in the United States, so it still protects his image,
is like around the Lost in Translation era, where that would be...
Yeah, this is all based off zeitgeist. Of that in Lost in Translation, like a Hollywood actor. This is when like people started to realize that a lot of Hollywood actors like were doing this. They were pulling like the, oh, I'll do a commercial for $500,000 and it'll only air in Japan.
Yeah, just in, yeah.
So Ari says that he got Vin a commercial with a huge Chinese director. He's going to be the next Quentin Tarantino, and Quentin Tarantino wants to steal from him That's how cool he is.
He's the next person Quentin Tarantino wants to steal from.
This guy, Chang Chung.
I Googled it because I was hoping against hope that that was the name of a real director and that this was a real director.
And, no.
That is not the case.
He's played by Ron Ewan, who has been on episodes of Siren, Sons of Anarchy. He was in the Fast and Furious movies, and he was on a classic television show called VIP starring Pamela Anderson, which...
Oh, I remember that.
Ran in syndication on the network that I work for.
Oh, hey, a Fuse connection.
And it did poorly.
What, you're telling me people weren't racing to watch VIP on Fuse?
They were not. They were not. It's shocking.
I don't understand. I'm just going to quickly Google Lost in Translation because I want to get it right. Lost in Translation.
So Ari's being like pretty
2003.
Ari's being pretty offensive like in this scene, and we find out that like so Vincent says my grandfather's Japanese, which is like news to
Yeah, that's
like,
a new piece of
information.
I was
wondering, I was like, is this a common knowledge?
They just toss out like pieces of information about the characters. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't think that they're writing down what they're like saying about the characters. I don't think they have a show Bible. I don't think that they're like tracking this at all. They're just like, yeah, sure, he's a quarter Japanese.
So they're like on the fence about doing this commercial, and Drama says that doing commercials fine. He did a Valtrex commercial back in the day, and he got a BJ from the makeup girl.
God.
Well, what I love is like when he says Valtrex, I thought it was a joke, and he was like, "So what?" I'm like, "Oh, it was a Valtrex commercial." Okay,
yeah,
way to go.
In this show or in this episode, he says that he was in The Crow.
Right. So this is like, so they go to, meet the director, and they're introduced to, I guess, what did she introduce herself as? Like a.
The stunt director or something. Like
is that what her name is? Stunt director?
Yeah.
So this is Lee Lay, right? Yeah. And so one of the pieces of trivia about this episode that I found out is, so yeah, Drama says that he'll train Vince to prepare for this commercial because he used to work out with Brandon Lee, who's a star of The Crow. And Drama says that he had a small part in The Crow. The trivia of this is she was actually in The Crow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, Lele is the name of the character, and then it's Bai Ling is the actual name of the actress.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So she was in The Crow. She did some episodes of The Cosby Mysteries. She was in Crank 2. She was in a movie called Detective Chinatown 2, which is like one of the highest grossing movies of all time.
Oh, wow.
This like came out last year. I kept
tracking
this. Well, yeah. It did not come out in the United States, but it did insane everywhere else. Insane numbers.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, it's just shocking that it came out last year and is one of the highest grossing movies of all time.
Yeah,
and I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to watch it. Actually, that should be a mini-sode that we do.
Detective Chinatown 2. I would watch it just to see like what the, like why it was so,
I wonder where it's available.
So popular.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it surely must be on the internet somewhere. Okay. Yeah.
And she's going to be in a, I don't know what this is. It could be a TV show. It could be a movie. I just thought it was a cool title. It's Exorcism at 60,000 Feet. So
that is a cool title.
look for that soon.
Keep your eyes peeled for Exorcism at 60,000 Feet. It's got everything. Planes, demons, priests?
Sure.
I mean,
I love priests.
Just guessing.
And we find out that Drama is a green belt in karate.
Yeah, or but yellow. He likes to wear the yellow belt because it makes his eyes stand out.
I didn't catch that part. When did he say that he was really a green belt?
Well, I think like Turtle says something like, "Oh, you're a yellow belt." He's like, "No, I worked my way up to green."
But the yellow makes my eyes pop.
Yeah.
Okay.
You really gonna wear that color like you earned it, huh?
What are you talking about? I earned this belt. In fact, I'm as high as a green. I just like to wear the yellow because it makes my eyes pop.
Which doesn't stop him from getting his ass kicked
later.
Which is well deserved. Oh, you're a professional person who does this? Well, I've studied it a very small amount. I'm pretty much better than... Like, he's the worst of this. Yeah.
Well, I used to hang out with Brandon Lee, just... who
Just because you know someone doesn't mean you're good at what they're good at.
This is a weird thing to bring up, too, because, like, in The Crow...
I
know
piano players. I'm an okay piano player, but I wouldn't do it professionally. I wouldn't be like, yeah, I know people that play piano professionally, so...
Yeah.
I could just go work at a bar, like a dueling piano bar.
Yeah, you could. Do it.
That'd be very sad, actually. Like, me at the dueling piano bar, like, ding, 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 ding.
That's adorable.
Very... minimal knowledge.
So I don't know if you guys know, but the history of The Crow, but this is the movie where Brandon Lee was killed on the set, like while they were shooting.
Oh,
they
actually
I knew that.
I didn't realize that was.
So she was actually there. She was part of that scene. That was
wow.
So fuck. It must be very fucking weird to make them have this written.
No,
in.
That
it's like, hey, remember that movie that you did where the guy was murdered, like,
murdered in front of you?
Yeah.
Let's just talk about
that. We're going to joke about it here.
Yeah, we're going to make a nice joke about it here on Entourage.
So then we cut to... So Drama's, like, training Vince to, like, kind of prep him for the real training session. Where does E go? Oh, E goes to visit that producer guy. Mm-hmm. And Turtle's playing with...
That scene is also...
Yeah. Well, before that, Turtle's playing with Hack. So D-Ray Davis plays Hack. He was on My Wife and Kids. He was in Semi-Pro. He was in Meet the Blacks. 21 Jump Street, and he's on the show Snowfall, which is on right now. I've never heard of it.
Snowfall.
It's called Snowfall. It's on right now, apparently, and he's in almost every episode. So
I learn something new every day.
Yeah, and this is the scene where his driver gets Turtle clean urine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, actually, no. I do want to talk about that scene where he goes to visit Scott.
Yeah.
The producer. Because that's like, okay, the boy opens the door.
Eric Murphy. Is your dad home?
My dad? My dad lives in Tennessee. You must be looking for my daddy. Come in. He's at the pool.
Yeah.
Guy's like, I could adopt him, but I can't marry him.
Yeah.
Which means that kid is definitely under 18.
No, it doesn't.
No?
You can
adopt
somebody of legal age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you
well,
can...
Well, let's how consult old, our...
Yeah, yeah, you're a lawyer. Yeah. So he can't marry him. What would be the reason? Oh, I guess because he's...
it's back in the day.
Of course, it's 2006.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I didn't even think about that.
Mm.
I'm so glad I have you guys here.
I didn't think it was a statutory rape thing. I just thought it was
wow.
He looks of age.
Yeah, he does. To
that
me.
Makes way more sense. I'm actually so glad to hear that because I was like, what the fuck?
What is going on, HBO?
I was like, that's not okay. all right, cool.
This crosses a line.
That's great news for me. I'm so glad we cleared that up. Maybe we have a list.
Wow, maybe you will like this episode a little bit more now that that's like weight off your shoulders.
That really, I feel better.
So what before that scene, so Drama brings Vince to the training session, and this is where Drama challenges her to a fight,
worst.
And
he's
acting
so
like
dumb.
A fucking idiot, like
and
dancing around
like...
her.
Oh
and she
God.
Beats
it
the shit out of him.
It reminded me a lot of high school and everything that was not great about high school.
I see you have had some training.
Yeah, I was bullshitting you.
How about you, Vince?
I'm a blank canvas.
I'm a little more athletic than Vince, so you might want to demonstrate stuff on me first.
So, you're the athlete in the family, huh, Johnny? Athlete. With a nice yellow belt. I see so many Americans wearing these belts, and yet they do not earn the level.
What are you saying?
Nothing. It is just in true kung fu, we never shall duan wei with belt. It is not Chinese way.
So, what is the Chinese way?
His golden dragon stands for Jing Long, ninth level, the highest level.
Well, look, little Lei Lu, I earned this level. And for your information, we're in America.
Okay, so do you want to spar a little? Warm up? Mm-hmm. Shall Vince your moves?
No.
Oh, come on, Johnny. I want to see your athleticism.
No, Vince, I'm not beating up a girl.
Only girl in the room is the one wearing pretty yellow belt.
You call me a girl?
If the belt fits.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Whoa!
Oh, you want some of that?
She makes a crack about his yellow belt, which is justified because mm-hmm. he looks like a fucking idiot with that. And yeah, she beats the shit out of him, and it's so fucking funny that.
And I want to say also, importantly to me, she clearly is not wearing a bra, which is very impressive.
Oh yeah,
that mm-hmm. she's kicking his ass without a bra. On. I can do very little without a bra.
Also, yeah, I can't even jog that way. Like, yeah, I can't run from a car. Like if something's coming at me, I'd be like, oh no. It's going every which way.
And I think she's barefoot, too.
Yeah, yeah.
She can do anything. Oh, no, she has slippers on. Slippers,
oh, no, you're right. Yeah,
but still, I was impressed. But still,
it's like she can do things that I couldn't go to the grocery store the way
that Well, in true Entourage fashion,
I know, 'cause I've tried.
Her stomach, she's wearing the lowest.
Oh, yeah, and her pants are like.
Yeah, like.
Surely, if we'd gotten a back view, we would have seen, like, butt cleavage, I guess. Because yeah. it's, like, that is all the way
this
down.
This is a thing on the show where every woman has, like, their stomachs are. Like just
the midriff
out.
Is yeah, always
the midriff
shown.
Is open there. Yeah.
They definitely like I watched this show and I think isn't it great that like the midriffs on shirts have descended again? Like yeah. may they never go up. Like, but yeah, it's true. Yeah,
and she's also
got a
like
lot of stomach
she's lowering,
but like
them
she,
herself,
I mean, she looks
too,
great. She's like, very in shape. Like, there's nothing wrong with her body or anything. It's just like
yeah.
Yeah, and then her
nothing wrong.
The male like fantasy fulfillment of her then just being like, as soon as they're alone, being like, well, yeah. the way that we'll train is for us to fuck is insane.
Yeah, so
this is a person on a job.
She kicks Drama's ass and then sends him away. And then there's two like women there that are like helping her, and she like basically snaps her fingers and they disappear.
Yeah,
and then she starts to like kind of train. You think she's gonna start training Vince a little bit, and then they end up fucking. And we find out that like. Yeah, so she's like pretty dominant, and
yeah.
this turns Vince on. So Vince is a little bit of like a little
submissive.
Masochist. Yeah, he's a little sub boy.
Vince likes everything. Vince is just along for the ride.
He's a little subby. Yeah.
Nice.
It caught me off guard. I wasn't ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
I guess for that, you know, that's what it is, right? You're a powerful guy. You call the shots. Those are like most subby type. People,
does Vince
right?
call any shots?
Yeah, he seems kind of.
Well,
like,
yeah, I guess he doesn't make a decision.
He's just like always like, okay.
Oh, yeah, he is pretty like, submissive in most. I guess it's yeah. maybe it's just like the
it's
power
just
thing.
Another manifestation yeah. of his submissiveness. I don't yeah. know. But also, like, he just is always getting laid and he loves it. Like, that's his deal. It's like he became famous.
Yeah, this
he's
is like right up his
that
alley.
He basically just is like famous to get with
to just get laid.
Women
yeah.
as much as possible.
That's all he cares about. So yeah. he's trying to secure a screening of this movie, Queens Boulevard. So he goes to visit Scott, and Scott can't get us. He says he'll try, but we know that he's not going to be able to get a copy of this movie so that James Cameron can watch
That's
it.
That's right, because Billy Walsh is like, flatly no.
Yeah, which is like very weird.
So that, James Cameron needs to see a copy of this movie to determine yeah. if he's going to be an Aquaman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah.
So what had happened was that
That's exactly
Ari right. had gotten a meeting with James Cameron, but then E went behind Ari's back and said like, oh, like, he was just trying to help, but he was like, if we show you a copy of this movie, it's a guarantee you'll want Vince to play Aquaman in your movie. But the director of Queens Boulevard is a very difficult, very artistic man. Yeah, he's a troubled yeah, man, and he refuses to show it to anybody.
That face is right. So,
well, it is about Queens Boulevard, so
it is about Queens Boulevard. Respect. Yeah,
yeah, it's got the good things of being about Queens and the bad things of most other things. Yeah.
So we cut to Turtle going to the tournament. Everybody's joining him. The crew is there. And this is when they finally reveal. So Turtle has a cup of piss, and he gives it to the woman, and the woman doesn't know what he's talking about, and she's like, "No, we're a video game."
Oh, he doesn't show her the piss. He's just like, "So where do I take the
oh right
my
yes,
piss?"
Yeah, I thought for some reason he had. I'm thinking.
Well,
he
does pull it out, but she's like, "There's no. Why would we do that?" And then he's like, "Well, what am I supposed to do with this?" And someone off screen yells, "Drink it."
Did they really? I missed that. That's very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she rightly so is like, yeah, we're a tournament for video games. If like we drug tested, nobody would fucking be here. Like,
right.
We'd be out
except
of
that child.
Yeah, yeah. This weird
presumably.
Kid. Yeah, so it's revealed he's going up against like some little kid
mm-hmm. Who's very rude.
Yeah, so Turtle goes to like introduce himself and to be like, hey, you know, I guess we're going against each other playing this game, and the kid calls him a fat boy. And Drama like gets a huge laugh out of that. Drama like loves it. He loves that Drama's this kid's like it. Giving him shit. So what happens here?
So we cut back to phone call.
Scott is talking about, yeah, Walsh will just like absolutely will not give Scott a copy of the movie. And he says like, Billy's just kind of a dick. And he like, if he fucks up the movie, he's going to have him killed.
And he's like, you can't get a screener of the film. I don't think you can get him killed. No. And then, okay. So he takes Vince aside and Vince is like, listen, man, it's fine.
Right. Yeah. So yeah.
He's like, I failed you. And Vince is like, no, like, everybody Ari failed me.
Yeah.
Like, you did your best, but, you know, I failed me by choosing to get this house, but, like, and then, like, E probably should have, you know, weighed in, but they didn't know that it wasn't a done deal, and it just is what it is. And they're going to get a big fat paycheck out of this commercial that he very easily got.
So then we cut to, well, we don't really cut to, we just pan over to Turtle. The Drama calls the kid a bum So they introduce the tournament as if it's like a real boxing event, and they have Michael Buffer, who's the guy who does the Let's Get Ready to Rumble line, infamous line. So this is the real guy, they got him.
And now, let's get ready to rumble!
I looked him up. He like has done this in so many movies and TV shows.
Hey, paycheck's a paycheck, baby.
I heard like he gets paid. Well, he has a copyright on that line, like he or a trademark
so
on
smart.
That line. So like nobody can do that except
Michael
for
Buffer.
Him.
Wherever you are, you're so smart,
so
and I respect you
so
much.
Much money.
And if
off
you
want
to pass down, Let's Get Ready to Rumble, yeah. to Rumble to me, I would be glad to pick it up for you.
Yeah,
I'll take that torch and I'll do my best. You know,
you
it's
a
new world,
a
and
right
I think
now?
That a woman would be a perfect statement to bring in.
We'll try it out now.
Let's get ready to rumble! Copyright Michael Buffer.
Sounds good. Thank you, Michael Buffer, for letting us do that.
He's like, I absolutely would not let you do that. We're going to get a cease and desist for that.
Of all the things, of all the clips we've played on this show, it's going to come from this fucking guy. So, yeah, they introduce everybody. They introduce Turtle. They introduce the kid. Drama yells at the kid's a bum, which is very funny to me.
Corner from the Sunshine State, two-time Xbox Southeast Conference champion, Herbie Green.
Drama just gets it.
Drama's on board. He's committed.
Drama cares, you know.
And Turtle loses immediately in the first round. He's shocked. Everybody's shocked.
Yeah.
And then it's revealed like the kid Turtle had heard that the kid was like a beta tester for the game,
yeah,
so he
later,
knew everything about it. So.
Later, Turtle's like, yeah, I heard he knows every in and out of the game.
And then so they. We cut to them on set of the commercial, and they're all hanging out in the trailer. Turtle just wants to get high, but everybody there is working and won't get high with him.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of just leans back and Jared Farrar is pretty good at the smoke rings.
Oh, I didn't even
doing some puffing there, and yeah, pretty.
I didn't process that at all.
I can't do that. Yeah, he's
well.
I
am retroactively impressed.
Good on you, Jerry. And as they're about to go shoot the commercial, Ari pops in and says, Sharon Stone is out for Aquaman's mother. And
not just that, it's who James Cameron wants.
Yes, he wants her.
And she wants Vinny, baby.
And Ari represents Sharon Stone as
that's
well.
Right. I'm sorry, I blew the
wild.
Wad too early.
Well, no, that's...
I blew the plot wad.
No, I mean, that's just a side thing. I'm shocked that Ari represents Sharon Stone, like, which is
do you think
that's a big get.
Oh, I was going to go in the opposite direction.
I think that's a pretty big get. I mean, he spends so much time with these guys. Like, you'd think he would spend, like, as equal amount of time, like, with Sharon
Stone. Well, Sharon Stone doesn't need the legwork. Sharon Stone sells herself, you
that's
know?
True.
Sharon Stone is Sharon Stone.
Yeah. It's pretty wild that Sharon Stone is the fake mom in... in this for Aquaman, and Nicole Kidman is the mom in the real movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, I think that's like a pretty good comparison.
Yeah, they like kind of nailed it
where
there.
We're at now. Yeah. And at the time, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, kind of even, I mean, not like look-alike, but kind of look-alike. They're both blonde hair, blue eyes, you know.
I feel like they're at the same kind of point in their careers right now, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. At the time, Sharon Stone was at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. And then Ari says that, yeah, James is in, and he's going to go to Sundance and watch Queens Boulevard.
He's going to the dance, baby. He's going to see the Queens Boulevard movie.
And the episode ends on the actual commercial that they shot. God. This is like so bad.
I feel like we haven't touched a lot on how potentially problematic a lot of this episode is.
Right.
In terms of how, in terms of its treatment of its Asian characters. I mean, I don't know if I'm right or wrong. I'm not Asian, and I don't want to like tell people who should be offended and not. But like, my gut is that this.
Well, he
episode could be considered pretty offensive.
I think the most offensive thing is the Chang Chung name.
That name is like a bunch of people in a writer's all white writer's room just being like,
yeah, this commercial's like, I don't know, this is a commercial that you would see over
there. it doesn't feel that's the thing, is like it never rings truly false or like truly racist,
yeah,
except for dramas like Weird Shit with like making noises and trying to like be like the crane or whatever to Lele, but at the same time he gets the shit kicked out of him, so I guess the commentary could be that he's an asshole that's the thing, is it's really just a bundle of crappy behavior.
I think this could have gone way worse. I think that they did an okay job making sure to like not like be
all the way out there.
Yeah. I could see this going south like very quickly. I did like that drama like popped in real quick. I thought that was
a fun little Easter egg, or not Easter egg. It wasn't like hidden, but.
And I did like that. You can clearly tell in the overhead shot that it's a stunt double
for Vince.
Like,
yeah,
this guy is like going fucking nuts, and Vince is like doing like these very slow mo like parts that like are very intense, and then the stunt double's like doing like these flips and kicks and stuff and like knocking over like five people at a time.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, I liked that too.
Yeah.
Why don't we jump ahead and let you do like a guest knows best?
So something I liked about the episode?
Oh, just anything you want to talk about You don't have to have liked.
It can
but
be,
also, if you did like anything, you can talk
about
that.
We've had farmer guests talk about how they're watering their plants too much. We've had former guests talk about their hopes for the show in the future and what they think would be the best run of the show. So it could be whatever you want.
Yeah. It can. If you want to relate it to Entourage, great. If not, it's just like a section for you to say whatever you want, or like if you have something you want to talk about.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, I do want to talk about, just in general, I love the idea of more things out there with, like, men, like, connecting with each other. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's an important thing, and I don't think people are used to it. Like, I just had this experience where I was, the play that I wrote about my dad, this is something from, like, the 60s, and these are, like, high school kids, but some of the feedback was, like with these two guys being friends with each other, it's like, oh, are they gay? And it's like, no, they're just two guys being nice to each other. Why is it like, I think, so I've only seen this one episode of Entourage. So, and it, from what I've seen, they're doing, you know, not all the activities they're doing do I get behind, but I do like this idea of, there being more things where men are supportive of one another and like, kind of one another. I feel like men need other men, and I don't think that happens a lot in the world, and I don't feel like men are usually supporting each other to I think it's like a guy usually has to be supporting another guy to get alcohol, drugs, or sex. I think those are important things. I don't know if they're important.
It's a noble quest.
I mean, I think, like, you know, to the extent that a dude wants a gal or whatever, like, to get laid, that's a noble objective as well in a certain respect. But I think just like men also just need the camaraderie of other men. So I'm just, that's something I'm thinking a lot about. I want to make more, beyond, I want to write more things.
Deeper connections of between men than just what we normally see.
It's true that male friendship is not necessarily depicted all that often. Mm-hmm. Or when it is, it's usually like in the context of war or in the context of other sort of like typically masculine activities. Yeah.
Right.
The idea of just being friends because they're friends is
and
letting that be like a tender relationship that can exist. Yeah.
That's why this show I think was so popular amongst like so many different groups of people, and it definitely has, it's so popular with like the kind of bro-y like fratty type community because this is as close as they get to like being okay with like showing like appreciation for their buds and like
seeing that kind of relationship reflected.
And it like goes beyond just
encouraged.
Basically that. And this is like their like green light to be like, oh, okay, like if they're doing it, like we can do it too. Like and it's okay.
We could also
encourage each other to try and fuck as many women as
possible. If it has to be in the context of that,
at the end of the day,
you know, represented at all.
I think
I think I've been hard on this episode, and I'm sorry, but it
I've seen them all, and this one, I'm not a fan.
I've only seen this one episode, and I don't know that I'm ever gonna.
This is a question we ask most. Especially people that haven't seen it.
Would you ever go back and watch from the beginning, or watch other episodes randomly just to check it out? Check out more.
No, I'm not.
You know what? One said yes.
I'm not angry at the episode. I think it just more has to do with like time. And then also want like, I'm so cheesy, but I want there to be some tenderness.
Yeah.
So maybe this if you is not a very were to say show. To me like, Andrea, like there's a strong chance you're going to shed a tear in like season 3, episode 4.
Certainly not to my knowledge.
Like,
we could send you some clips of the tender moments.
Yeah. I like a tender moment.
I would love to see a supercut of like all 12 tender moments from all of Entourage. And like, it's probably less than one half hour episode altogether.
Probably, yes.
I feel like, but I think, I don't know. I do feel like men, I think this is an important need that men have and that it's not getting met, and like I don't know, like my I think I just think that men have a need to have connections with other men, just like I think women need connections with other women. And I had a similar experience with something else I wrote, with like two women being friends with each other and people's response being like, are they lesbians? And I'm like, no, one of them's literally engaged, like getting married to someone else in this movie. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I mean, not that there's nothing wrong with homosexuality, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like our culture is so unused to like close same-sex friendships that it immediately, it's like, this must be sexual.
Sort of like hyper-sexualized.
It's like, not everything's sexual. Yeah. Like, people can have like deep connections with one another that isn't about sex. So that's my platform about today.
What would you give this episode out of 10?
Out of 10, Chinese Red Bulls, I guess. I don't know. What are some props that are in here? Some
out of 10 cups of clean urine.
Yep, that's it. On a scale of 1 to 10 cups of clean urine, what would you rate this episode?
I'm going to go with a 6.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a 6. Right.
Cool, yeah.
Just because I feel I'm going to say that. It was reminiscent of some funny experiences from my growing up. Just
I love that.
People having to clean their urine.
Nice. I'll give it I'm going to give it like a 6.5.
Yeah.
So we got a 6, a 6.5. Where are you at?
I'm gonna go a 6 also. Okay. I'm gonna stick with Andrea.
2 6s and a 6.5. Nice.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a 6.13333 something like that.
I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I think that's an appropriate amount. IMDb seems to disagree, but I don't know.
Well, IMDb thinks everything's good because no one rates Entourage episodes that doesn't watch Entourage.
That's a good point. I'd like to think that that's not true, though. Yeah. I'd like to think that there's some people just blindly rating episodes of Entourage that they haven't seen.
Well, I mean, or like or someone just watching fans. An episode yeah. and being like, I got to rate this online.
Yeah. I know that for every television show, I rate the individual episodes of the show.
yeah, I know. It's a crazy thing. I mean, it's, you know, listen, we all respect your hobbies, Joe.
It's time consuming, but it's a passion.
Is there anything that you want to plug?
I have a law comedy show coming up on March 2nd at the Tank. Nice. And Red. I'm excited like about tank. That. Yeah, I love the Tank. They're so sweet and so supportive.
The Tank in New York.
Yeah, 36th and 8th Ave. And I have a weekly, what's it called? A little video that I put out, like where I highlight a weird American law.
A law vlog.
I like this. Yeah. It's a law vlog. And so every week I highlight a law. And last week, I think it was, God, I don't know the state, but it was, I don't know. I've done laws. There's laws about bingo. There's laws about.
Oh, yeah. I love those laws. You know, like, bingo is like outlawed in this one town. There's
right. Like, no chewing gum at a movie theater. It's right. Like,
stuff like that. But I know, exactly. So I kind
how
of.
How did we get here?
What happened to you?
No horses at the bank. Right. You had to write that down?
I love it. Exactly. So I do those. It's called Whack or Woke.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very cool.
So, Emily, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at mdunkaroo with a C, E-M-D-U-N-C-A-R-O-O, or you can find me, you know, just via Podtourage. We have a Facebook. We have our email, which is podtouragepod@gmail.com. We have an Instagram. We have a Facebook. We have a Twitter. I think I said Facebook twice.
We're on every social media platform. Please contact us. We're on MySpace. MySpace, we're still...
Just our band, our Entourage-themed band is on MySpace.
Yeah, I'm working with Justin Timberlake to get a page going. Because he's an owner of MySpace.
That's so cool.
So I'm working with him. We're going to get a little page going here. He's a big Entourage fan, so...
He's a fan-tourage.
And you can find me on Instagram at Joe DiBella. And I might start tweeting again soon. I'm thinking about it.
You always say it, but when's it going to happen?
I don't know.
The people demand a tweet, Joe. The people demand a tweet.
On it. I'm resting. I gotta sleep on it. I'll see. And we always ask our guests at the end of the show if they would join us in saying "Oh yeah" with us. So would you?
You know, like the theme song.
Yeah. Would you join us in an "Oh yeah"?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Well, until next time.
Oh yeah.